Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Jesus says, but wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from heaven, for the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will testify of me. You will be witnesses to me. The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us to glorify Christ, to be a witness for him. See, Jesus never imagined a church that wasn't dependent on the Spirit.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of John. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on John chapters 14 through 16 in the message titled, The Holy Spirit and the Life of the Church. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
All right, so what I want to do today is I'm going to kind of be looking at statements that Jesus made from chapter 14, 15, and 16, zeroing in on a very specific subject that Jesus addresses here, and that is the subject or the topic of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the most extensive teaching of Jesus on the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, in the Gospels, of course, there's references to the Spirit, and Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit, but it's here that Jesus teaches us about the Holy Spirit. And he's doing it in the context of his disciples, actually, in this case, it's the apostles that he's with, and they are filled with worry and fear and anxiety over the fact that he's saying to them that he's going to not be with them much longer. And as you can imagine, that would be a big surprise. They assumed if Jesus was the Messiah, they assumed that this was just the beginning of everything. So Jesus here in these verses, five times in these three chapters, Jesus tells his disciples not to fear his leaving them, for it is his coming departure back to the Father that will result in the Holy Spirit being sent, who will then be with them forever. When we are talking about the Holy Spirit, let's just keep this in mind. We are talking about God. And I think sometimes Christians, they forget that or something, or they don't totally realize it. The Holy Spirit is, in some ways, is probably the person of the divine nature that we are maybe the least familiar with. I mean, some people think the Holy Spirit is just like some sort of a force or something. They don't recognize the personal nature of the Holy Spirit and that he is actually a person. But he is indeed a person. And so when we're talking about the Spirit, we're talking about God. But here, as Jesus is going to introduce us to teaching on the Spirit, he's going to talk about the Spirit in a very specific relationship to believers. But the teaching, this is my point, the teaching on the Spirit here that Jesus is going to give us is he's going to talk about a very specific way that the Spirit is going to relate to us as his people. And he does that through what he calls the Holy Spirit. And in the verse that we read, I want you to notice back in verse 16, Jesus speaks of the Spirit, and here he's called the Advocate. The Advocate. The Greek word is parakletos. Now, this word is translated in various ways in different versions. So, the Advocate, the Helper, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Encourager. It's even translated the Friend. So this is what Jesus wants us to understand. He's telling them, and through them, he's telling us, that he's going to send another. He's going to go away, but he's going to send another Advocate. another helper. But the idea, this is made up of two Greek words, para, which means to come alongside. Think of the word parallel. What does parallel mean? It means that you're going alongside of something, right? If you have parallel lines are running side by side. So para means alongside of, and kletos means to help, to assist, to aid. And so that's the idea, that he is one who will come alongside to help us. The idea is that, as Jesus said, he's going to send the Spirit, he's going to come, and he's going to, in a sense, the Spirit is going to take over the ministry of Jesus. He's going to carry on what Jesus began doing. Now, he's also called by Jesus here in this passage, he's also called the Spirit of Truth. So the Holy Spirit, he's called the Holy Spirit, and he's called the Spirit of Truth. Now, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. So whenever the Holy Spirit is at work, whenever the Holy Spirit is present, Jesus is there. And we're going to see that more specifically in a minute. But understand it this way. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ who dwells in each individual believer and the whole church collectively simultaneously. So remember our Father in heaven. How is it that all of us have the same Father? Because all of us have the same Spirit. So the Spirit indwells us individually. The Spirit indwells us collectively too. So what I want us to see when we think about the Spirit being the Spirit of Christ is that the Holy Spirit brings Jesus present to all of us personally and collectively. See, that's the beauty of the Spirit. This is what Jesus is saying to them. They're full of anxiety over, oh no, Jesus is saying that he's going to leave. Jesus actually says to him, this is going to be to your benefit. The good thing is he's here now. He's here with us, and he's with the churches throughout town. And he's with the churches across the country, and he's with the churches in India right now too, and Africa, and wherever else we might want to consider geographically. So that is the reality of the presence of the Spirit and the presence of Jesus through the Spirit. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to walk through these five things that Jesus says here in these three chapters about the Spirit. And we're going to just touch on lightly on the things that he says. And so beginning here with the verses that we already read, I want us to look specifically at two things he said. He said, notice about the Spirit, he said, the Spirit of Truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. And then he said this, for he lives with you and will be in you. Okay, something to remember right up front, and this is something that sometimes we never think about when we read our Bible. We must always remember that the words that we're reading were first spoken to a different group of people. And in this case, these words were spoken to a very small group of people. These words were spoken to 11 men. They were the apostles of Jesus. And the reason I'm saying that is because I want us to understand that some of what Jesus says here applied to them in ways that it doesn't necessarily apply to us. For example, here Jesus says the Spirit is with you and will be, future tense, in you. Now, that was true for them, but it's not true for us today, because for them, the Spirit hadn't yet been poured out. That would come after Jesus died and rose again. And so we read later on in John's gospel, after Jesus had been raised from the dead, that it says he breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And it was then that the Holy Spirit came into them, indwelt them. But for us today, that's not the case. Because from that moment forward, everyone who believes in Jesus, the Spirit comes and lives in them. That's what it is to be a Christian. To be a Christian is to be a person in whom the Spirit of God lives. This is what Christianity really is. It's the life of God in the soul of the human being. So Jesus said that that would happen. That did indeed happen. Now, in verse 26 of this same chapter, let's look at what Jesus said here. He said, and remember, the context is basically he's addressing the fact that he's going to go away. So verse 25, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything I said to you. Now, jump over to chapter 15 with me and look at verse 26 of chapter 15. And here, when the advocate, the Spirit, the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. So he says that the Holy Spirit is going to testify of him. So that this is the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit is to testify about Jesus, to point people to Jesus. And notice, when the Spirit comes, he will testify of me. And then he says, and you will also testify of me. And we're going to see in a second that this is one of the ways the Spirit testifies about Jesus is through us, the people of God. Now, in chapter 16, and let's look at verses 7 through 11, we have a really interesting one here because in this passage, Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit in relation to the church, but also in relation to the unbelieving world. This is the only place where Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit in relation to the unbelieving world. But notice what he says. It says in verse 7 of chapter 16, it says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, listen, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And then Jesus gives an explanation for what he meant by that. And he said about sin, because people do not believe in me, about righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer, and about judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit does have a role in regard to the world, the unbelieving world, and the role is to convict the world of sin. And he does that. And guess what? We have all had that experience. That's how we got here. That's how we became Christians. We became Christians because the Holy Spirit convicted us of sin. And now Jesus clarifies the specific sin. And the specific sin is because they do not believe in me. You know, that's the one sin that in the end will condemn the world. There's all kinds of sins that one might commit. But the one sin that will condemn the world is the sin of not believing in Jesus. God sent his Son into the world, and whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And so the Holy Spirit's convicting work is to show people that Jesus is the only way to be delivered from their sin. But then he says, secondly, the Spirit will convict or prove the world about righteousness. And this is an interesting one. Jesus says about righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. And what Jesus means by this is that the Holy Spirit is going to show the world what the standard of righteousness that God accepts is. You know, we create our own standards of righteousness. We create our own moral systems, and then we judge ourselves and we judge others by how well they line up to the system that we created. And I love this. I love the mysterious work of the Spirit where, man, you don't even know that it's going on, but it's happening. It's happening. And this is why when we think about an outpouring of the Spirit of God, we just say, Lord, pour out your Spirit, because you have to go knock on the door of people's hearts. Some people are so shut up, so closed in. There's nothing that's going to penetrate, but here's the truth. The Holy Spirit can penetrate. He can get through. And he does. So he does it independent of humans, but then also the Spirit uses people. And he uses the church. And he works through things like preaching the gospel. But not just preaching, but as we've talked about before, telling. Sometimes it's just you're telling the story of what God has done in your life. And the Holy Spirit is working in the person that you're telling to convict them of sin and of righteousness. And sometimes it's showing. Sometimes people look at your life and they see that, man, there's something different here. There's something powerful here. And the Holy Spirit is using that. And then, of course, there's also praying. As we, God's people, as we pray, Lord, pour out your Spirit. Believing that, as Jesus said, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. Lord, convict the world of sin. Nobody can come to Jesus unless they're convicted of sin. Nobody looks for a Savior unless they realize they're lost. So, Lord, we pray that you would work that in people's hearts. And so that is the work of the Spirit, Jesus said. That's what the Spirit would do amongst the unbelieving world. And then lastly here in verses 13 through 15, notice here, verse 12, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So here, three final things. He will guide believers into all truth. Now, again, this was very, very, very relevant to the group of men that Jesus was speaking to right here, because they were to be the ones who were to pen for us the rest of Scripture, the New Testament. And the New Testament, the rest of the New Testament, beyond the four Gospels and Acts, is basically the explanation of who Jesus is and all that he did and all that he will do. And so they would be guided by the Spirit to know that. Like we saw earlier, he would teach you all things. Now here, more specifically, guiding them into all things. But he guides us into the truth as well. He guides us toward the truth. He helps us to recognize where we don't want to go, because that's not true. But then he says, he will tell you what is to come. And so this is speaking of the future. The Spirit would inspire them to write about the future. The New Testament also contains information about the future, most notably the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation tells us where the future is headed, where the world is going, where it's all going to end up. But then the final thing he says is this. He says, concerning the Holy Spirit, he will glorify me. He will glorify me. This is the delight of the Spirit. Remember, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all three persons are God. All are equal to one another. And yet the Spirit's delight is to glorify Christ. So when the Spirit is working in your life, when the Spirit is working in our lives collectively, when the Spirit is working in the church globally, guess what's happening? Jesus is being glorified. Jesus is being exalted. Jesus is being testified to. He is the Spirit of Christ. Now, finally, I want to take you back just in your memory. You don't need to turn back there. But remember the very first passage we read where Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit. He said to them, he said, he's with you. He will be in you. But then there's one more way in which we are to anticipate the Spirit, and that is the Spirit will come upon you. And so the Holy Spirit is with, the Holy Spirit is in. When we believe in Jesus, he is in us, he indwells us. But then Jesus said to them, remember, he gives them the Great Commission, go preach the gospel. But in Acts 1:8, Jesus says, but wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from heaven, for the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will testify of me. You will be witnesses to me. And so this final thing is the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us to glorify Christ, empowers us to speak for him, to be a witness for him, empowers us to serve God. See, Jesus never imagined a church that wasn't dependent on the Spirit. Never imagined a church that wasn't dependent on the Spirit. The Holy Spirit must be with us or we've got nothing going. And so we want to be filled with the Spirit. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the idea there is keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. How do we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, the simplest way is to ask, Lord, fill me up. Lord, I need you. I need more of you. Lord, baptize me. Friends, pray for me. I want to be filled with the Spirit. And so Jesus never intended us to try to fulfill what he's called us to do on our own. He has supplied us with the Spirit. And so I just want to encourage you in this way. Today, I would encourage you to take this opportunity and to say, Lord, I want to be filled afresh with your Spirit. Lord, I want you to pour out your Spirit on me. Maybe you would say, I don't even know if I've ever had this experience. Well, here's the moment to say, Jesus, come. And maybe you don't even know if Jesus is indwelling you. Maybe you're not sure you're a Christian. Well, this is the time to say, Lord, forgive my sins and take up residence in me by the Holy Spirit and fill me with your Spirit for your glory. Let's do that and let's see what God will do.
For the month of August, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian. With all the chaos, unrest, and uncertainty in our world, behind it all is the unseen realm where a spiritual battle is being waged. And this spiritual battle not only affects the world collectively, but even our lives individually. This month's book, The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian, will give you an understanding of the battle that is raging behind the scenes. You will understand the enemy who is waging war against you, his tactics, and how you can be equipped to emerge victorious. As people of God, we must be aware of the spiritual battle we're all involved in, the sophisticated ways in which we're constantly being attacked, and the provision for victory we have in Jesus. If you want to be equipped for the spiritual battle we're engaged in, or to be able to help others become equipped, we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com. to order The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of John. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.